God rescues the depressed. We just sang that there in Psalm 34. Now let's turn back to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, where we read. And let's think about this theme of depression tonight. Because a few months ago, I received an email from a member of the congregation asking me to preach on the subject of depression. And to my shame, I filed it, and this week I came back to it and looked over the email, and it said, you know, what struck me was the compassion of the email. Out of the compassion for those suffering with depression, the person had emailed me, wanted us all to hear, quote, "Jesus can still meet us in the shadows. Jesus can still meet us in the shadows." So in Psalm 42 and verse 5, and again in Psalm 42 and verse 11, and then again in Psalm 43 and verse 5, we have what you might call the refrain of the psalm, the chorus if you like. And it's quite a frank and heartfelt, distressing chorus, because it begins, "Why are you downcast?" So the writer is speaking to himself. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God." Now the reason I read the two Psalms together is because actually in many of the earliest Hebrew versions of these Psalms, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are actually one Psalm. They're just together, and you can see why that would be, and you can see how they flow together. You could also see why they would be separated into two songs for worship on different occasions. But they very much go together. And in the Psalms, there is prayer. The psalmist praying to God for help in his distress. There are descriptive passages in these two psalms describing what is very much like depression, whether it's an actual case of depression or not. It certainly sounds very like some of the symptoms of depression. And in some of the psalms, the two psalms, the writer is talking to himself. He's trying to counsel himself and help himself. So we're going to think about this subject of depression tonight, and I know that in a gathering even this size, there's likely to be someone, or maybe more than one person, suffering from depression even tonight in the congregation. And it's just one message I'm going to give, and you know, I'm not pretending that it's going to be like a cure for you. I think one of my prayers tonight is that it won't make anyone any worse than they are, and I hope it won't. You know, you may, if you experience depression, actually think that some of the things I say tonight are just said out of ignorance. In other words, I don't know the subject well enough to speak of it with authority. I have a lot of pastoral experience of dealing with people who have depression, but thankfully up to this point in my life I've never suffered profound clinical depression myself. So if I don't completely understand your case, please be forgiving and make allowances, because it is a serious subject, and it's one that people who suffer from depression often feel is misunderstood, and they feel that well-meaning friends, family will try and help them, but in helping them actually just add to the burden. So what are we talking about with depression? Well, we're not talking about just feeling the blues some days. We're not talking about just feeling a bit bad some days, because we all have that. We all have days where we're not feeling great, where we're seeing things negatively. When we're talking about depression, we're talking about something longer term. We're talking about, to use the language of verse 5, we're talking about being downcast in an ongoing way. It's not just a day, it's something that lasts. It's something that you go down into and you stay in for a time. Hopefully then you do come out of it, but it's a period where your mood is low. What causes depression? Well, depression is caused by a lot of things. I'm not going to list lots of things here, but sometimes it's caused by major traumas in our lives, like a bereavement. That's an obvious one, a bereavement. Or a stroke. Or maybe being the victim of an attack. Just some examples. Sometimes it's caused because of substances that we use in our lives. It might be drugs, it might be medicines that we're using that can bring on depression. They can have that effect on our minds. They change the brain chemistry. Sometimes it's caused by illnesses. We have an illness with a physical nature. You could describe the physical nature, but one of the consequences is it makes us depressed as well. Sometimes it's caused in our lives where people are not able to achieve what they want to achieve, and they become frustrated, but not just for a day or two. It's something that becomes chronic, a chronic sense of frustration, a chronic sense of being powerless. Like, for example, in verse 1 of Psalm 43, he's speaking there about the need to be vindicated. He feels he's being wronged, and there's these enemies, these wicked and deceitful men he describes, and these enemies he describes in verse 2, who are beyond his control, and they seem to be saying things about him, they seem to be wronging him, and it's an ongoing situation, and it's a profoundly disturbing situation for him. We don't know the true nature of it here because the psalm doesn't explain it to us, but we get the sense that it's just something that's going on and on and on. And the writer feels, because of what these people are doing, he can't get justice. He can't get a way ahead in his life, and he's frustrated, and he's halted at every turn, and that's causing depression. Beyond his control. Yeah, another verse to look at, Psalm 42 and verse 9. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? There's a sense of an emotional burden because of what the enemy is doing. Yeah, and that enemy might be another person in this psalm, it probably is, but there might be some other enemy in our lives, something that's just thwarting our progress and stopping us from achieving what we want to achieve. That can cause depression. Sometimes depression is caused by spiritual concern, where people are just simply needing to get their sins forgiven, and they're carrying the burden of their sins, and it's getting to them as it should, but it's causing them to be depressed. Lots of causes, and I'm just touching the surface there, lots of causes, but it's not a simple thing. In other words, there's not one cause, there's not just some kind of easy way you can just identify it. It comes from all kinds of directions. What effect can depression have on our lives? What effect will it have if you're depressed? Well, again, it's not straightforward to describe that. Again, in the psalm, the writer is saying that he is downcast, he is disturbed. In that refrain in verse 5 of Psalm 42, I'm downcast, I'm disturbed. So there's a low mood, and with a low mood can often go things like anxiety, because of course if you're not functioning emotionally, you can't achieve the things that you normally do, and the anxiety can very easily come in because you can't get through what you normally get through, and you see maybe workloads piling up and demands piling up and things not getting done. Anxiety comes in. One writer I remember reading many years ago described it like in the States and South America too, I think, when they're logging upriver, they'll float the logs down the river to the sawmill. And some of these places have vast rivers, huge rivers, and so they can float these huge logs down the river. And sometimes the logs will get stuck. And of course, as the logs come down the river, one by one, the log jam becomes greater and greater, and it becomes a really serious damming and congestion on the river. And depression can be a log jam of our emotions. So instead of our emotions coming out one by one, as they normally do, where we feel fear, we express fear, where we feel upset, we express upset, where we feel joy, we express joy, and it just comes normally. The logjam of emotions means that we don't express emotion, and we know we should be, but we're not able to. And it kind of builds and builds. And sometimes it can be that emotions then will come out in a flood, in a kind of uncontrolled way. Like, for example, in verse 3 of Psalm 42, "My tears have been my food day and night." Yeah, so there's an uncontrolled expression of upset. We may, in depression, not even know why we're crying. Well, crying might not even be the thing we feel we should be doing, but it's there. And that's how we're expressing the depression. What other effects can it have? Well, often people who are depressed focus on an issue. And sometimes they'll even say that's the issue that is the cause of their depression. And it may be and it may not be. And usually the issue is painted in far more dark colours than really anyone else would see the issue as having. So it may be something like people say, I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough. And that often is what people say in depression. Or it may be some issue like in Psalm 43. And in verse 1, the psalmist says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation." So there, the writer's making out like the whole nation's bad. Like, you know, this is the issue. The whole nation is bad. They're all against me. And that's an effect of the depression. Like, of course the whole nation isn't against him. And of course the whole nation isn't ungodly. But there may be ungodly people in it who are causing problems. But the depression causes the problem to be overstated. Again, depression can demotivate people. Like, people who are normally enthusiastic, people who are normally keen on things, and they've got get up and go, they just don't have any. And they find that they can't even feel like just staying in bed all day. And they feel so out of their normal pattern of enjoying life and doing things. And that's hard for them, and it's hard for people around them. They're demotivated. What other effects? Well, of course, depression affects our mental abilities too. It affects things like memory. Affects concentration. It affects our ability to make decisions. It can, of course, have perhaps the most well-known effect, that it can make people self-destructive. But this is not by any means a regular part of depression, but it can happen that people become suicidal in depression. And if that does happen, of course, someone who is suicidal with their depression needs to speak. That's the point where they must, if they haven't shared up till now, they must share. They must speak to people. They must speak to people who will take them seriously as well, and not just people who will fob them off with trite comments, but people who really listen. That's certainly a time to get along to a GP as well. And with depression, which is a mind condition, the body can suffer too. And here, verse 10 of Psalm 42, "My bones suffer mortal agony." It seems that it's affecting the way he feels. He's feeling pain with depression. And there may be many physical symptoms along with depression. It can affect the body and the immune system in all kinds of ways. It can also have a spiritual effect, depression. Well, it will have a spiritual effect. If you're depressed, it will affect you spiritually. Yeah, perhaps the most obvious thing is where we feel, does God care? I thought God loved me. But it doesn't feel like that just now. In fact, is God going to judge me? People can even say, like Christian people can say, I'm going to go to hell. Depression can have that effect. And it may be that you're longing for God. If you're a Christian who's depressed, you'll be longing for God, but you feel locked out from God. And so it's expressed in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Like, I can't. When will I be able to? In verse 4, I remember how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. I can't do that now. At this time, I'm not able to do that for whatever reason. I can't do that. I'm shut out from the presence of God. Verse 9 of Psalm 42, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? God forgotten me. Well, God hasn't forgotten him, but he feels like he has. Or he feels like God has forgotten him. Psalm 43 and verse 2. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Well, God hasn't rejected him, but it feels like that to him at this time. That's an effect, a spiritual effect. It affects his relationship with God because of this depression. Along with that is a sense of failure. A sense that you failed God and you failed other people. You failed the church. You're a bad witness to Christ because you shouldn't be depressed, you think. And you're giving the enemies of Christianity an opportunity to deny Christianity, an opportunity to attack Christianity. So Psalm 42 and verse 3, men say to me all day long, so where's your God now? Yeah, thought your God would fix everything for you. Thought that now you become a Christian, everything would be okay, and it doesn't seem to be helping you just now. That's horrible if you're a Christian and you're depressed. And of course, it's all a big lie, but it doesn't seem like that when you are depressed. And so when people are depressed, and especially Christians, they're going to feel a sense of guilt. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to feel, well, am I supposed to rejoice always? Doesn't the Bible say that? Rejoice always. And I can't. And sometimes to exacerbate things, other Christians may come alongside us and say, come on, rejoice in the Lord. Snap out of it. And that's the very thing we want to do, but we can't do it because we're depressed. It's not like a switch can be thrown in our thinking and just, oh, well, we'll decide tomorrow we'll feel better. It doesn't work like that in depression. Another spiritual effect is that people actually deny what's happened to them. Some people, when they're depressed, deny that they are depressed. Because they'll say to themselves, well, I'm a Christian. Christians can't get depression. Or a Christian shouldn't be depressed. So it can't be depression. There's got to be something else. And that's really not helpful at all. If you've got depression, you've got depression, whether you're a Christian or not. It happens to everyone. Like I've said, you don't just get depression because you're under spiritual conviction because of your sins. There's a whole lot of other things. It could be illness. It could be a trauma. You know, there's lots of things that it could be a side effect of a medicine you're taking. There's lots of things that it could be causing your depression. And legitimately, and you end up depressed as a Christian. Nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin to be depressed. It's not a sin. But then sometimes, because we're Christians, some Christians, when they're depressed, refuse to seek help. Because they think to themselves, but I'm a Christian. Christ will sort everything for me. Yes, well, Christ might actually sort it for you through the GP. Christ might actually sort it for you through medicine. Christ might actually sort it for you through counseling. He might sort it for you through you actually going to speak to people and share and unburden with people. through pastoral help, through understanding friends. And instead we say, I should be able to deal with this myself. But depression isn't like that. The person who's depressed is the least able to help themselves because they are depressed. They can't see clearly. They need other people who can to come and help them. So what do we do if we're depressed? And I think in these Psalms, the refrain, the chorus, really points the direction. So let's read it again, verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. First thing that we can get out of this is there is a why. Why are you downcast? There is a reason. You can only ask why if there is a reason. There is a reason. There is a reason why you're depressed. And it may not be the reason that you think. Sometimes we will home in on something in depression and we'll say, you know, it's about my financial situation just now, for example. And it's not. It may be because actually there's an underlying illness in your body that you haven't identified, or whatever. It could be many, many reasons. But there is a reason for your depression. There is a reason. There's a cause. And that's one reason why, when we are suffering from depression, we should go and get medical help. If you've got a stubborn depression, we should go and maybe speak to people and see who the GPs are that really are sympathetic and really understand and know how to particularly help folk with depression, and go and see them. And it may be that antidepressants are what are needed. That antidepressants may help. Again, that seems to be a taboo thing for many Christians. Why it should be, I don't know. We don't have any problems in taking blood pressure tablets or in taking painkillers or whatever. Why should we not take antidepressants? No shame in that. One of my colleagues I was speaking to very recently who suffers from depression, very, very highly regarded minister, and he and I have a good understanding. We talk quite often. And he said, since he went public with the fact that he does suffer from depression, several of our colleagues have gone to him and said, look, I'm on antidepressants myself. So those are Free Church ministers on antidepressants. So, it's fine. Nothing wrong with it. It's a medicine to help. And it may help. So, no shame in that. There is a reason, however, behind the depression. And if it's a medical reason, it may be that medical help then will be what you need. But there's also our thinking. Sometimes our thinking can either bring us into depression, if it's wrong, or keep us in depression. And I know in depression it's very hard to change your thinking. But that's what the psalmist is trying to do here in verse 5. He's trying to change the way he thinks. He's telling himself, put your hope in God. I will yet praise Him. And remember, this is the God he's saying he thinks has forgotten him and rejected him. But he knows that's not true really, because although he says it, because that's how he feels, he knows that God is in fact, as verse 5 says, my Saviour and my God. So he's trying to get his thinking out of this rut of feeling God's rejected and forgotten him. And it may be that he needs help in that. It may be he needs people to help him. In this case, it seems like he's actually composed a poem, turned it into a song that gets sung ever after by the people of God. A beautiful and a wonderful song, a very honest song. And obviously other people are going to get to know that this is how he feels, and hopefully can get alongside and help. And it's often easier to make progress with your thinking with help. These days, medically, people will approach you with things like cognitive behavioural therapy. But Christian counselling can be very, very effective in helping people to identify just where thinking is wrong, because many Christians have just got really wrong things in their heads, which often go back to their childhoods and to problems in their upbringing and the way that maybe they didn't handle a situation properly at some time in their lives and started thinking negatively about themselves in some way. So we need to go and get help sometimes. And again, this is where pride comes in. You know, we all like to think we can fix things ourselves, which is the very thing the gospel tells us we can't do. If we could fix things ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus. But we need Jesus with all the fibers of our being. And we need help with depression too. And pride often gets in our way. We say to ourselves, well, you know, I'll manage. Well, why will you manage when everyone else with depression doesn't? And then sometimes people will say, well, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. That's a common thing in depression. But again, that can be pride too. Because that can be just you saying to yourself, you know, I can manage myself. Almost like I know better than other people about what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. That's pride. Pride's an enemy in this situation. Depression's humbling you to get help. So sometimes we need to really think about, in depression, who can help me here? Who can I talk to? Is there someone I can talk to that will be understanding? And we all have people in our circle of friends, or people that we know perhaps through our network, that are understanding, wise, pastoral kind of people, to whom we can talk in confidence. Of course, that's important, to whom we can talk in confidence. And we need to avail ourselves of that and not be ashamed of that. Tell them, just as Psalm 42 and 43 are the writer telling us. He's not afraid to tell. And not to be afraid either of counselling, of actually sessions where you're sitting down with someone who is going to give you an ear, first of all, who's going to listen, who's going to listen very carefully to what you're saying without judging you in any way at all, who's going to listen without judgment, and who is going to explore what you're feeling and maybe why you're feeling it, and maybe some underlying issues that maybe you haven't even thought about or identified or noticed about yourself, and who then, through that, can perhaps point you in a new direction, make you think differently about yourself. Or maybe will identify that what you do need is to go to the GP and you know, have a medical intervention or whatever. We shouldn't be afraid of counselling. I, through my own work, I firmly believe that pretty much every Christian would benefit greatly from 10 sessions with a Christian counsellor. I can't think of anyone that wouldn't benefit from that, because there's so much that we all carry that we needn't carry, and we ought to learn how to bring it to Jesus and how Jesus can actually change our circumstances and our thinking for the better in ways we haven't even begun to think about, but a counsellor could help us to identify. Anyway, back to the refrain. The psalmist's advice to himself is, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. What he's saying to himself is, remember God's character, and remember that God ultimately is victorious. God's character and God's ultimate victory. Remember these things he's saying. Now let me speak to anyone who's not a Christian here, who's not trusting Jesus. If you are depressed, sometimes it's because you're not trusting Jesus. Because your sins are still on your shoulders. And you can't deal with those sins. So you need a Saviour. That's what you need. You need to be able to come to the place where you can say, as verse 5 says, my Saviour and my God. And if you can't say that of Jesus yet, then you might have other reasons for depression, but there's certainly a spiritual reason. A spiritual reason where you can come to God in prayer with your sins and ask His mercy and forgiveness, and He will take the burden of your sins from you, your guilt and your condemnation. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He'll do that for you. And that may completely heal your depression. I've certainly seen that happen. It may not, because there may be other reasons why you're depressed, but it certainly won't do you any harm to know eternal life and the assurance that you've been accepted by God through Jesus. So there may be a spiritual cause. We need to know the forgiveness of sins, because without that, we've got a real reason why we would be depressed, because we're carrying our own sins to our destruction. We need our Saviour, we need Jesus, and we need to turn from our sins to Him. And how much better it is to face depression with Jesus than without. At least with depression, when we have Jesus, we can say the words of verse 5, I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. But finally, if you are a Christian and you have depression, remember it's not a sin to have depression. It just is not a sin to have depression. That's not to say sometimes our sins don't get us into depression. Sometimes Christians get into chronic patterns of sinfulness, of addiction, for example. And because they know so clearly it's wrong before God, then, and they're frustrated that they can't overcome those patterns of sin, they will get depressed through it. That can happen too. But depression itself, the condition depression, is not a sin. It's a brain condition. And it may be sometimes as Christians with depression, for all that we know all the right things, and for all that we know that, yes, we must put our hope in God, we will yet praise Him, He's our Saviour and our God, it may be that we still have to weather the storm and just be glad every now and then of the glint of a distant lighthouse on our horizon in the darkness. That may be all we have to hold on to for a time. But such glints are there. I will yet praise Him, as verse 5 says. There's a few other glints like that. Verse 8 seems a little bright spot. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So he's got a consciousness as he thinks there that God is there. He is in charge of my life. That's a little glint of light. But then the verse before, verse 7, he's saying God's waves and breakers have swept over him. Too late for the lighthouse. That's how bad it is. So that's the nature of depression. We just need to be glad sometimes that there are little lights here and there, and that God's presence is there, and the comfort of it may be something we don't know, but we can seek it. We can seek it. So in depression, as Christians, we must never give up the habits we have of praying to Jesus and of reading God's word day by day. We mustn't do that. And we must develop those habits, even when they're the last thing we feel like doing. Because through them, we will just get those little glints of light that will keep us going. And at the same time, we have to remember that we've got to hold on in depression to things that we saw more clearly when we weren't depressed. You know, verse 5, God is His Savior. And there was a time when he saw that so clearly as he was going to the house of God, as he says in verse 4, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. He saw it so clearly. Well, when you're depressed, the things that you saw clearly when you weren't depressed are still true. They haven't changed. They haven't gone away. The depression is distorting your thinking. So your thinking isn't right. You can't trust your thinking in depression. So go back to thinking about how you thought before you were depressed, how you thought about Jesus, your Saviour and your God, and remember that's the truth. That's the truth. And hold on to that. Depression does warp the way we see things, but the things themselves haven't changed. God is the same. And ultimately, in depression, we can have that assurance that He will win through, that we will come out the other side of it. There's no question about that if we're Christians. God will ultimately have the victory in our lives. Absolutely no question about that. A happiness that we've never known in life will come to us, because God will be the victor. Put your hope in God, verse 5 says, I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. He will defeat, because that's salvation. He will defeat whatever is causing our depression. There isn't anything that can separate us from His love. And ultimately we know that every Christian's depression will depart. Every Christian's depression will pass away, because our present low and fallen condition will pass away. And we will enter into the ultimate victory of God, where every sorrow and sighing will flee away. The redeemed of the Lord will return with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Hallelujah. Amen.